Thank you, God. Amen. The Lord is my healer. I will not forget all his benefits. Will he forgive all my sins and heal all my sicknesses? So thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm just glad to be in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, God, for what you have done and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the tumors that's going to leave. Thank you, Father, for the pain that's going to go. Thank you, Father, for the provisions of jobs that's going to come. Thank you for hope that's going to come where there is no hope. It starts with thanking and praising you, God. So I thank you, Jesus, for the praise and the thanksgiving that we lifted up today. I thank you for the testimonies coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise Jesus. Are you okay? How many is okay to this morning? How many are happy? Do you know the Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him? It was like the Word and the Spirit met and became one. And I pray, Father, that the Word and the Spirit will become one in you this morning as you listen to his Word. So, Father, I pray for your Word to go forth. And, Lord, speak to our hearts, convict us, change us, transform us, and make us more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for awesome worship. How about we thank our worship team? Thank you, Jesus. I'm just thankful this morning. Thank you for all of you coming. Thank you for participating and singing and worshiping and being part of the kingdom of God in Maple Creek. Amen. Thank you for superheroes this afternoon. Well, abide in his love. I feel in my spirit that that may become another series of sermons. I'm ready to abide in his love. Comes out of John 15, verse 9. As the Father, okay, let's read it together. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So he's telling us that we can abide in his love. Just like the Father loved Jesus, so is he loving us. Now, what is he saying? Jenna, would you do me a favor? Run and get some batteries. There, Gary is. So, the Greek has at least four different words for love. How many remember that? Eros, romantic love, it comes and goes. Philo love, which is brotherly love. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Then there's storge love, which is family love. But then there's agape love, which is I love you unconditionally. Nothing is required of you for my love to be extended to you. That is the love that's in the scripture. As the Father has loved me unconditionally, so I have loved you unconditionally. Now remain in that unconditional love. Amen. Now we all have needs. How many here has need for love? How many here has need for recognition, for being valued, like you are? Thank you, Gary, for being valued. How many here can say, it's not an egocentric thing, it is something that's built into us. I remember when my Paul was little, he had a little horse on springs. It's a long time broken, but he would jump on it and he would sit on this horse and he would get it going really fast and he would look and say, "Dad, look at me, look at me, look at me." There is a sense that we want to have some importance, some value in this world. We want to know that we're not living for nothing. How many agree to that? That is not an egocentric thing. That's how we are wired. The problem is this, my friends, that sometimes those needs that we have, emotionally, spiritual needs that we have, direct us into the wrong places. Jesus was tempted in those places too. Remember when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him? He was led into the desert. And what does Satan do? After being fasting for 40 days, you are hungry. There is a physical need. And he brings him and says, "Now turn these rocks into bread." That's Satan tempting Jesus. Now there's nothing wrong with bread. But there's something wrong when that need is met through a counterfeit. There's nothing wrong with being loved. There's nothing wrong with having recognition and honor and praise. But it's something wrong when that is the counterfeit. Some of you have run into addictions because you were in such a desperate need for love that you actually thought that through the addictions you could be accepted by a group of people. But that's a counterfeit. Satan attempted Jesus with a counterfeit. And Jesus' response was, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I mean, it says amen to that. Then he put him up in a high place. Remember, he's tempted now with the glory. Satan says, "You can have all this, if you worship me." That's a temptation to all human beings, that somehow they can have the glory and the honor and the praise of people. But it comes to a counterfeit. How many believe that fame can drive you to do things that actually can become a counterfeit? And Jesus says correctly, we should worship God only. Only. Now, one day Jesus came across a woman, a Samaritan, called a Samaritan woman at the well. And this is an illustration of how needs can drive us to the counterfeit. And he said to the woman at the well, "Go and get your husband." And she said, "I don't have any husbands." And Jesus said, "No, you have had 5 husbands. And the one you're living with is not your husband." What is Jesus doing? He's pointing out what her need for love has done, driven her into arms of many relationships. She is a rejected woman. She has a spirit of rejection on her. But he's not attacking her and criticizing her or condemning her. He's bringing the truth to the front so she can come into the abiding love of Jesus, into the knowledge of the Messiah. Amen. So sometimes the Lord will, if you are serious with the Lord, he will bring you into a place where you are abiding, where you can abide in his love because of something that happens to you. You may have driven you to do things that is contrary to God's will, and you may not even be aware of it, but God will bring you there in his good timing. And the mercy and grace will bring healing to your heart. Amen says, amen to that. God is good. There's a story in the Old Testament of King Saul. How many have heard of King Saul? He's the king of Israel, an insecure kind of king. And he has a problem. Can I just say something? You know, it says in James chapter 5, I think, no, James chapter 1, sorry. Consider it joy when you encounter trials of all kinds. I often wondered, excuse me, God, I don't see any joy in trials. I don't see any joy in pain, and I don't like them. I mean, it says, that's me. However, I believe that God can expose things in us through trials that will bring us to a place of joy. He can use the things that we suffer and go through to bring about the truth in us. So, Saul is an insecure king. And Saul has a problem. There is a Goliath, an enemy. He's a little too chicken to go and fight it. But there is little David coming with his slingshot and said, I can do it. And he kills Goliath. Now Saul is happy. He's about to give his David his daughter. And there's time for party. There's celebration. The enemies has been killed. And they go to Jerusalem. So far, Saul is on a high. But then he hears a song. And what's the song? Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. Wow. Suddenly the joy left. Suddenly the joy all evaporated. Now he became angry at David. Why did he get my anger, David? Let me tell you this. Because his sense of worth and value did not come from God. It came from the people. And so when suddenly that honor and glory was given to somebody else, that somebody else became an enemy. See, he had a choice. He had a choice to make. Either I'm going to get my worth from God, I'm getting it from the people. If I'm going to get it from people, David is my enemy. And I'm going to turn against him. There's a movie called Amadeus. It's an old movie. It's not a good movie, but it's called Amadeus. It's about Moses. Not Moses. Mozart. There's a point in there. There is this amazing composer. And he has a little prayer with God. He says, God, if you'll make me famous and amazing composer, then I will serve you. I will give you my life. I will be generous. And you know what? He is famous. He's an amazing composer. But then Mozart comes along. And the problem with Mozart is, he's a self-centered in the movie. Okay, I'm not saying that wasn't real. That's just in the movie. And he's 10 times better composer than this other guy. And in one of the movie scenes, he says, God, I'm done with you. You did not fulfill the bargain. It wasn't that God ever agreed to it in the first place. This man is now my enemy. Why am I saying that? Because sometimes when you're demanding your needs to be met by people, and because they will never will, they turn into your enemy. And you'll begin to say, you know what? There's something wrong with those people. How many knows that marriage can look like that? You get married and you say to your spouse, I have a need for love and honor and respect and glory, and you're to meet it. I mean, nobody says it like that, but that's exactly what happens. And the next thing you know, she says, pick up your socks. You never pick up your socks. And she said, you don't love me anymore. You always pick on me. Do you know what I mean? No? What is he saying? He's saying that I expect you to fill that need in me, but you cannot do it. There's only one way it can be filled, is by abiding in God. Amen. Job. How many have ever heard of Job? Job lost everything. He was rich. He was wealthy. And Satan comes along and says, you know, God, the only reason he serves you is because he's blessed. He has everything. That's why he serves you. If he didn't have everything, he will turn against you. It's like that bargaining that took place. And so God said, okay, take away his wealth. He took away his wealth. You know the story. He took away his health. He had boils, lost everything. And his wife says in Job chapter 2, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Job suffered. But in his suffering, he never turned against God. He asked God, why don't you answer me? Where are you, God? I wish I was dead. I wish I was never born. He was honest, and I believe in your trials, it's okay to express the truth of how you feel. But he said, in the midst of it, he said, my Redeemer lives. And so, at the end of the story, I like the end of Job. How many enjoys the end of Job? The end of Job, he says this. God speaks now. Finally, after probably 7, 8, 9 months, God speaks to him. And Job says, I've heard about you, God. But now I've seen you. How many believe that God brought him through a process of seeing the truth of who God really is? I'm sharing this with you because you may go through this trial that Rennie talked about. But the Redeemer lives. And if you hang into it, the abiding love of God, there is a time when God honors your faithfulness and brings about the truth. And how many believe that Job was blessed with double? Well, double. That's hard to do. That's hard to do without a song on your lips of thankfulness. Amen. Let me just give you one more illustration of how this works. I have never experienced a Job experience, and I don't really particularly want to. How many knows where I'm trying to go with this? There is three levels of your soul. There is what other people see. It's what you see. But then there is what God sees. And sometimes what God sees, my friends, is a surprise to you. So let me give you an example. I go to Kenya. And do you know what they do to me in Kenya? The moment I come off come off the plane and go to the house, they put a thing around my neck. It's flowers. And then they sing and they dance. I think to myself, they got the wrong guy. And then I have the next prayer. God, they're expecting something amazing from me. You better come through, God. And he does. He comes through. And I have an amazing time. And I think, man, I can get used to this. And then at the end of this trip, they give me a live chicken. And they send me home. And then I come home. I come to church. Okay, it's not like this, but this is just an example. Okay, help me. So someone come to me and say, Hans, I just heard the greatest sermon ever. And it wasn't my sermon. It was somebody else's sermon. And my friends, I like other sermons. But I just spent 20 hours preparing a sermon. You see, at that moment, God is saying, where is your value coming from? And significance. My friends, in my walk with God, He has many times stripped me spiritually. Again, the things I trusted in for my value and my identity. And He said, there is only one place you're going to get it. That's for me. If you're going to grow to the next step in your walk with me. It's not going to come from my wife. It's not going to come from my church. It's not going to come from my good preaching. Or even the anointing that God has given me. It's going to come from Him. Because if it's not coming from Him, it's a counterfeit. There's nothing wrong with honoring and praising people. I'm so thankful for the people in this church. But your identity and worth is not coming from this church. If you're going to abide in His love, it's going to come from Him. Amen. And part of the trials that God gives you is to drive you into that place where you say, God, who am I? In your eyes, who am I? Isn't it interesting that God affirmed Jesus just before He went through the trials and temptations? Temptations that you and I have. He affirmed His Son. This is my Son, who am I well pleased with. Before He ever did anything, He affirmed His Son, said, this is my Son, who am I well pleased with. My friends, heaven, the God of heaven is saying to you, you are my son. You are my daughter. You don't have to do anything to prove that or earn that. This is a free gift. It's called a gap of love. When Nilsson holds his little Savannah in his arms, Nilsson doesn't demand anything from Savannah. Nothing. Not a thing. He's just full of love. See, the brother, when he touches the little girl, it's like a tender, fragile. And you see the love. It's that kind of agape love that the Father has for you. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You just receive it. But there is a choice to make. And the choice is that you enter into His agape love. You can choose the counterfeit. You can choose people's adoration. You can choose your career. You can choose your service. You can choose what you do. But it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's being in His presence, in His love. That's a choice. That's a choice. And if you are serious with God, He will bring you to that place and expose the things, just like He did with the woman at the well. Expose the things that's counterfeit. Not to condemn you, not to judge you, but He gently bring you to a place of the truth and healing. And many good Christians, people who love Jesus, has that exposed. I don't know anybody who is in great ministries today who has not been gone through that journey of having to let go of the things they hang on to for the value and the purpose. Abraham was given Isaac, his dream of his life. And what God say? Sacrifice Isaac. So that Abraham could demonstrate that his truth, trust what's going to be in God. So I feel in my spirit that for the next little while, I'm going to answer this question. How do we abide in his love? How do we actually do this? So we don't rely on something that's counterfeit. I'm ready to hear part two. But just like Edith, I have three sermons, but I'm only going to preach one today. So Lord, I thank you for everyone here today. And Father, sometimes you use difficult things. Sometimes it's spiritual crisis. Sometimes it is physical crisis. But you use things to bring us to a place where we truly abide in your love and trust you. And just like you, Jesus, you obeyed the commandments of your Father. You did not give in to the temptations, God. Give us the power not to give in to temptation, to rely on some things that is not of you. So Holy Spirit, will you demonstrate in our hearts your amazing love, the love of the Father. Go to the places in our hearts where we have been broken and hurt and we run into the wrong things for affirmation, God. Maybe you hear the voice of heaven that says, you are my son, you are my daughter. I am well pleased with you. It does not depend on how many times you pray or how much you fast. It simply depends on just following me. So Father, I pray. I pray, God, that each and every one will go on this journey of faith, trusting in you, God, for affirmation, for worth, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not done with it yet. Help us not to push ahead of you. Some of you may say, Hans, you were talking about me. And I really would like healing in that area. I have no sense of worth. I have no sense of feeling worthy. I have no sense of being significant. I feel a little bit like the Samaritan woman. I have run into all kinds of things. But it has never filled my heart with what I really needed. So Father, it's not a shame to declare I need that love. I'm hungry for that love. I want that love. And I don't want to receive it from the wrong area. I want it from you, God. So every eye closed and every head bowed, just say, I want that from you, God. I want that love. I need that love. I have prayed the prayer, but I never actually experienced that agape love. I want it. If that's you, just put up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I saw those hands come up. And Lord, I pray that your arm stretches out. And in the coming weeks, I pray they have an encounter with you, Father, where they experience your amazing love. And it's going to go from their heads down into the hearts and out into every broken area where they were rejected and abused and abandoned and not received what they really was that you wanted to receive. Father, you are a redeemer. And redeemer means that you can redeem what was lost. As a child, you can redeem what was lost as a young person, God, as an adult. And Father, you can bring that love into the areas of rejection and abandonment. So I thank you, God, that you do not leave us as orphans, but you come to walk with us and dwell in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you for listening.